Ukrainians. Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. Within the last few weeks, the world has unveiled Ukrainians as a nation of courageous and indomitable people who relentlessly struggle for their freedom. We showed our enemy what they should expect if they jeopardize our dignity. A core value of Ukrainians. A lot of people worldwide now follow the news from Ukrainian hotspots. But we believe that without understanding our identity and the circumstances that form us, the world won't be able to understand us enough, which will limit the prospects of support and cooperation. So, what makes us who we are? What is the bottom line of the Ukrainian people's dignity? In this podcast, we will tell you about the milestones which form our identity and make us a part of the European community. And today we want to reveal a new rubric to you, War Explained, where we will review common narratives, myths, key takeaways of the modern Russian-Ukrainian war and lay it all out. And we are opening this new series with an episode dedicated to the explanation of why the term war is vital in the light of full-fledged Russian invasion in Ukraine. Why should we be firm when referring to the ongoing dreadful events in Ukraine? Why it could promote understanding of the situation with Ukrainian optic to the international community, with the optic of those who fight for their freedom. And not only their freedom, but the freedom of the whole free world.
Conflict.
End the conflict.
End to this conflict.
Crisis.
Escalation of the crisis.
Many tabloids and influential journals in the West literally arrive with headings such as conflict in Ukraine or a Russia-Ukraine crisis. Let's be clear that this is not just a conflict, a crisis, an operation, or a difficult situation in Ukraine. It is the war Russia declared against Ukraine. When referring to the international humanitarian law, we see how it defines the ongoing war in the Ukraine by certain hallmarks. The following ones are among them. The declaration of war by at least one of the parties. The attempt of the aggressor to change a political system. The severance of diplomatic relations. The action of a special legal regime. Martial law.
I have decided to conduct a special military operation.
However, this official announcement of an allegedly special operation against Ukraine meant nothing but the declaration of war. From 24th February, the aim of Russia was to clean up the political leaders of Ukraine and set a puppet government in Kyiv. Kremlin attempted to assassinate President Zelensky and compelled Ukraine to capitulate by direct threats.
Current Ukrainian authorities should understand that if they continue to do what they are doing, they call into question the future of Ukrainian statehood. It will be their fault.
The attempt to change a political system. Ukraine broke diplomatic relations with Russia on the first day of the full-scale war. Martial law was imposed in Ukraine. What's more, Russia adopts force and violence amounting to war. Russia carries out forced deportation of the population from the hotspots. Russia exposes the civilian population of Ukraine to bombing and shelling. Russia shells humanitarian corridors. Russia creates conditions of humanitarian catastrophe under which the civilian population does not have access to water, food, and medicine. Russian soldiers torture civilians and commit sexual violence. So far, 5.2 million Ukrainians have left Ukraine. 7.7 million people are internally displaced. According to the official stats, about 5,000 civilians died in Ukraine since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion. The actual death number is higher, and it is what the genocide does look like. 217 children have died at the hands of Russian soldiers as of 28 April, and over 391 children are wounded. Recently, permanent representative of Ukraine to the UN, Serhii Kislytsa, informed that over 500,000 Ukrainians, 121,000 of whom are children, were forcibly deported to Russia from the temporarily occupied territories of Ukraine. And the history repeats itself. Russians take out our grain and transport it to the occupied territories, last time in the region of Kherson. Just like in 1932-33, the years when Ukrainians experienced genocide that was later internationally recognized. And now to genocide Ukrainians is the ultimate goal of Russia. Isn't this a war? However, the war started not in 2022, but 8 years ago. We talked about it gradually and in detail in the three previous episodes of our podcast. The highest guidance of Ukraine knew about the full-scale Russian offensive on Ukraine, which happened on 24th February, and they were preparing. In a recent interview with the BBC, Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council Danilov stated that
we were aware of what will occur in the territory of our country.
And Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Valery Zaluzhny commented the vast warning of a full-scale invasion in January 2022.
I reminded the Allies that our war has been continuing from 2014. And we do our job.
Can there still be doubts about the Russian war against Ukraine? No. So let's be honest and call a spade a spade. Russia violated international law in 2014 by starting a war in eastern Ukraine, and on February 24th this war turned into a full-scale offensive against Ukraine. Remember, it's not the first time when Russian aggression should have been interpreted as a war. Russian Federation invaded Georgia back in 2008 and captured Abkhazia and South Ossetia, setting the Moscow finance regime. However, Russia called it a peacekeeping mission, and the then president of Russian Federation Medvedev said that Russia was and remains the guarantor of the security of the peoples of the Caucasus. Obviously, this is not the case. Wording matters. When we say war, we mean that this is a political aggressor from the outside, whereas the word crisis implies that the problem originates only from the within the country. The war has an aggressor who is responsible for the violence, but a conflict doesn't predicate this same meaning. Vocabulary reflects the true state of affairs. Kremlin justifies its deeds by word manipulation. Russian government has banned local media from using words such as war or invasion in news reports. By calling the war in Ukraine a conflict, you allow Russia to abdicate its responsibility as an invader. You help Russia whitewash its crimes. Anyway, you always have a choice to fight back against Russian propaganda by calling the war what it is – war, no matter how atrocious it sounds in 21st century. And yet, this is just a puzzle of our lengthy story on the ongoing full-fledged war in Ukraine. And the most gripping plot is yet to come. So wait till we acquaint you with it soon. Glory to Ukraine!